Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our evening service here in Claretz. Just a few announcements before we begin. Welcome those who are visiting with us this evening. It's good to have you here. There's no midweek meeting this week, but on Friday evening, we have our church barbecue, and Ian is to be eating around 7:30. There's a sign-up sheet. There's a couple of sign-up sheets on the ports, two sheets that are the same, and that's just to get an indication of numbers to be catering for. And then if you're able to come, if you can say how many will be coming, and if there's something that you can bring to accompany the burgers and sausages and whatever, you can sign up for that. Next Lord's Day, the visiting preacher is due to be Reverend Tom McKendry, morning and evening. I'm due to be on holidays from tomorrow until either the next Monday or Tuesday. Then a reminder of the CY Summer Conference coming up on the last Saturday in August, Saturday the 27th of August. Details of that are on the notice board. And then the final Sabbath day in August, after our morning service, we're due to have our church picnic. And then there'll not be an evening service, but there'll be a short afternoon service after the church picnic. And then also the Young Adults Weekend, reminder that that's on the 2nd to the 4th of September, Mullerton House in Annalong. So those are the announcements. Let us join in the worship of God. We sing His praise, turning to Psalm 86, the C version of the psalm. And we use the tune Conwell 284, 86. C, singing the first six stanzas. And the third stanza, we're reminded of God and what our the Lord that we worship is like. Thou, Lord, dost show mercy, forgiving thou art, abundant thy kindness and love to those who sincerely upon thee do call. And our God is a merciful God, a forgiving God, a God who is abundant in His kindness, who is abundant in His love. And let us praise Him for His abundance in these things and in so many other things as well. Psalm 86C, singing the first six stanzas, the tune 284. We stand to sing and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we praise you for the God that you are, the God that you are in reality and the God that you are in our experience. We praise you that you are the one who is abundant in kindness, abundant in love, a God with whom there is forgiveness, and forgiveness not in part, but forgiveness in full. We praise you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whom we have the hope and assurance of eternal life. We praise you, Lord, for this Lord's Day evening. We thank you that we can gather here in this place to bring you our worship, to be reminded of your truth. And we thank you that we can look to you in our prayers. We pray, Lord, that you will draw near to us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will make use of your written word in our hearts this evening. Father, we pray for your people as they gather in different places. And we pray that where your word is proclaimed, that you would be at work, O Lord, and that your word would not return to you void, but would accomplish the mighty purposes for which you have sent it forth. Lord, forgive us our sins now and help us in our time of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us read together this evening from God's word. If you'll turn, first of all, to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and want to read some verses in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, towards the end of Ephesians chapter 4, and then reading into chapter 5, and then also want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Ephesians chapter 4 in our church Bible, the page number is 1040, as this is a New King James Version, and I read from verse 29 at near the end of chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let us hear the word of God. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then also reading in 1 Corinthians, the reading part of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and reading from the beginning of the chapter, page 1021, it is in our church Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then the last verse, it says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so reads God's own true word. Now we sing a further portion of praise, turning this time to Psalm number 18. And we sing from the beginning of the psalm. We use the tune St. Cyril 140. Psalm 18. The psalm begins with an expression of love for the Lord. You will I love, O Lord, my strength. My fortress is the Lord. He is my rock and does to me deliverance afford. And the psalmist speaks about his love for the Lord. The Lord is the strength and security of his life. And he does love the Lord, and he will love the Lord. He will continue to go in the way of love for the Lord. So we sing the first six stanzas of the psalm, the tune St. Cyril 140. We stand to sing these words in praise to God.
My rock and my
Have you ever met someone that you hadn't seen for a while and they've said to you, you're getting more and more like your mother or like your father? Often these words remind us of the passing of time. They remind us of the change in our physical appearance, something that happens so gradually that we're not aware of it ourselves. But others who see us only from time to time, they see the changes that take place within us. And change can be a good thing, and change can be a bad thing. Now, there's another kind of change that takes place that we're not always fully aware of. And it is a change that takes place within everyone who is a Christian. It is the change that is the work of God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of all believers to change us. And there is a particular likeness that he wants to create within us. And it's not our earthly father or our earthly mother that he has in mind. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul says that we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that transforming work of God the Holy Spirit, it begins the moment we're saved, and it continues on throughout this present life. It only reaches completion at our death, as far as our soul is concerned, and at the resurrection, as far as our whole being is concerned. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 3, verse 2, that we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And those are wonderful words in the scriptures, the thought that we shall be like our exalted Lord Jesus Christ, our glorified Savior. What an encouragement that is to know that that is the direction in which the Lord is leading us. Even at this present time, if you're a Christian, God is at work within you, and he is seeking to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That likeness is the one that he is working towards. And how does that happen in practice? Well, there are things that the Lord enables us to get rid of from our lives, things that weren't present in the life of the Lord Jesus. And they're like old clothes that we have to take off and we have to get rid of them. And then he also has things that are good that he is seeking to develop and promote within us, character traits and qualities, things that shone brightly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are like the new clothes that we need to put on by the grace of God the Holy Spirit. And in the scriptures, we're given a whole lot of different things that God desires that we get rid of, but also then things that we are to cultivate. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we are told about the things that God the Holy Spirit seeks to produce and works to produce within every Christian. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I want this evening to speak about love as the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the hallmark of where God the Holy Spirit is at work. The first thing I want to say is that love is supreme. When Paul gives us his list of things that represent the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it is love that comes first. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that should not be something that comes as a surprise. God's people throughout Old Testament times understood that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul and mind and strength. And they knew that alongside that, and never to be separated from it, was the command to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God, loving your neighbor, that's what it was all about, being one of the Lord's people. Above all else, God wants his people to demonstrate love, God's kind of love, love that is the fruit of the Spirit. And we see the same emphasis in the New Testament, in the letters of Paul. We read in 1 Corinthians 13, and he writes about the necessity and the priority of love. And he says that if you don't have love, you have nothing, and you are nothing. And if you don't have love, then all that you do have, it profits you nothing. If love's not there, everything else is worthless. Paul writes also in Colossians chapter 3, and in verses 12 to 14, he mentions many good qualities that Christians are to put on. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. But, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And so in the scriptures we see that love is above all things, and all the other graces flow from love. And love is not what we think love is, but love is what God shows love to be. And above all that God looks for in his people is love. So love is supreme. Second thing I want to say, and very briefly, is that love originates in God. The love that God wants to see in us, to see in his children, is the love that he himself shows in making us his children, in adopting us as his children. 1 John 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. And what God wants to see produced in us and flowing from us is what he has first of all poured out upon us. So love is supreme, but love originates in God. It's not something we invent. It originates in God himself, and it's the love that we see in God that shows us what love is like. So the third thing I want to speak about then is what love looks like. What is the love that God the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us? What does it look like? Well, there are many things that could be said about that. There are many different important strands to it. One general thing that is good to remember is that the love of God is a doing thing. God's love is demonstrated in what he does. And so our love is to look like God's love, and our love needs to be a doing thing. We could say that it's a doing thing that arises out of feeling, but it is a matter of doing. And three things in particular I'll mention about the love that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It involves, first of all, giving. John 3:16 teaches us that God's love for the world was demonstrated by what he gave. And he gave that which was most precious to him. He gave his only begotten Son. He only had one only begotten son, and he gave that one. And that was the love of God demonstrated in his giving. And interestingly, when you come in the epistle of John to the equivalent verse to 1 John 3, verse 16, we find that in that verse, it is the willingness of the Lord Jesus to be given that is held up to us to teach us about love. 1 John 3:16, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And then a couple of verses later it says, "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And the Lord Jesus didn't just go around telling people of his love, but he showed it in his actions. His love was a love shown in deed and in truth. The love of Christ was shown by how he gave himself at great, great personal cost for the sake of others. And God teaches us in his word that he wants us as followers of Christ to be those who lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that, of course, is asking a lot. It's asking a lot to give up your own interests, your own time, your own concerns for the sake of others. But that's what Christ did. And that price is a price that true love is willing to pay. So what does love look like? Well, it's a giving thing. The love of Christ was a giving love. We could also say that love is a matter of reaching out. The love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Spirit of God promotes within us, is a love that reaches out to others. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 11, we're told of how we need to pass on the things that we ourselves have received. And it says there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And John, the apostle there, reminds us of how God's love was a love that reached out to us. And Jesus Christ, when he was in this world, and when he walked on this earth, he touched the lives of many people as he moved among those people. And Jesus reached out to the people that he lived amongst. He came into this world with a view to seek and to save those who were lost. And that reaching out of Christ to the lost, that is an element of the love that God the Holy Spirit seeks to produce within us. And so when God lays upon our hearts a concern for a particular person who is lost, we should recognize that that is the working of God's Spirit within us. And God is seeking to produce that Christ-like love within us. Christ's love was a reaching out love. And the love that is produced by the Holy Spirit, it is a giving love, it is a reaching out love. Third thing I want to say about the love that is the fruit of the Spirit is that it involves obeying. There is an unmissable connection in the Bible between love and obedience. And I'll just give you a few verses that highlight this connection. John 14, verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Love and obedience. John 14, 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Obedience and love connected. John 14, 23. "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." And then in the epistle of John, 1 John 5, 2 and 3, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So the scriptures teach us that we can show our love for God by obeying his commandments. And we obey the commandments of God because we love God. And we are to love him. We're to love him. We're commanded to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And so we are to obey him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. We are to give it our all in obeying God, because that demonstrates love for him. Jerry Bridges, in his book on the fruit of the Spirit, comments on how we are more likely to adopt what he calls a cruise control approach to obedience rather than giving it all we've got. I have a feature in my car which I've never used. I have cruise control in my car, and I haven't even looked up as to how it works, but I know it's there. And it's something where you get to a certain speed and you can press the button and it'll just keep you going at that speed. And what Bridges is saying is that we can reach a comfortable level of obedience that satisfies us, and then we press the cruise control button in our hearts, and from that point on, We don't strive for more progress, but we settle for this state that we have reached. And we fail to do what the scriptures so often teach us. And the scriptures, depending on what Bible version you're reading, it'll tell you to make every effort, or to make every effort to be holy, or to pursue holiness. And the Spirit of God wants us to strive after a greater obedience to the Lord's commands. And we can show growth in our love for the Lord by growing in our obedience. And the Spirit of God always desires to lead us into a greater Christ-likeness. And therefore, he strives to lead us into a love that will prompt us to be people who give, people who reach out, and people who obey. What love is like. Finally, in thinking of love as the fruit of the Spirit, I want to speak about growing in love. And the good news that is in the scriptures for every believer is that we will grow in love by the work of God, the Holy Spirit. We have not yet reached the point that we will reach. There is more progress for all of us to make in the Christian grace of love. And how can we seek to encourage the growth of love? Gardeners do different things to encourage the growth of fruit. What can Christians do to encourage the growth of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love? Three things I mentioned. First of all, we need to remember the importance of love. Love is not something we're to take for granted. It's not something that we're to forget about and put to the side while we focus on other things. We need to always remind ourselves of the various ways in which God shows us that nothing matters more to him than love. That is the thing that he wants to see in us more than anything else. And we must not relegate it to being just one thing among many things. But we need to remind ourselves that of all the virtues that we are to pursue, that the greatest of these is love. So we need to remember that this is what the Bible teaches. Remember the greatest commandment. Remember the primary fruit of the Spirit. We also need to pray. Where does love come from in believers? Well, it comes from the working of God, the Holy Spirit, within us. And therefore, we need to deliberately pray that God will enable us to grow in love. We need to pray for ourselves that as Christians, we will grow in love. We need to pray that God will strengthen our love for himself. We need to pray that Spirit of God will strengthen our love for other believers, that God will strengthen our love for our family members, that he will strengthen our love for unbelievers that we have a connection with. We need to pray for growth in love. And that's an important thing in these times. The Christian church in the last few years hasn't been thriving in many senses. There's been a lot of irritation, a lot of people living on the edge, and it hasn't been love for one another that has characterized many churches. And we need to pray that God will give us the grace of love, that God the Spirit would work his love in our hearts. And there's no more important thing that God can do within us. There's nothing else that is more important to God than seeing us grow in love. This is a prayer that God loves to answer. And so let us deliberately pray that God would strengthen our love, that there will be a greater Christ-likeness in us, in the love that is in us. Let us remember, let us pray, and then thirdly, let us pursue. We need to pursue love. We need to chase after it. We need to be willing to go wherever love that is true love will take us. We need to think about how we can show love and how we can do those things that love would dictate that we need to do. And it's in doing whatever love dictates that we'll develop a greater heart for showing love. The opportunities to show love are all around us. They're not too far away. They are surrounding us. And the Spirit of God can open our eyes to see the particular opportunities that he has placed us in this world to take hold of. God wants us to pursue love, to chase after it, to make every effort that we might be those who grow in love. All Christians have scope to grow in love. Even the most loving of Christians that we can think of, they still have progress to make. But it only happens through the work of God, the Holy Spirit. It is only God that can cause love to grow within your soul. And God himself is a gracious God. He is a loving God. And he wants his children to be like him. God wants us to be those whom people think that we resemble our Father in heaven. And we are most useful in the service of God when the love of God is seen in our lives. And so, above all things, this is where we need to pray for growth through the work of God, the Holy Spirit. We are to pursue love, because love really matters to the God who is love. Amen. Well, let us look now to God in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you are the God of love, and we thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us in giving your only begotten Son. And we thank you for your great salvation at such a cost. And we praise you, Lord, for that love that we know of and that is clearly taught to us in the Scriptures. And we pray, O Lord, that you will work in our hearts, that that love of God will be shed abroad into our hearts, and that you would reproduce in us that likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will forgive us, O Lord, for how in so many ways we have failed in this regard, and how we've been a very poor reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a very poor likeness to our Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you're not yet finished with us. We praise you, Lord, that in all the things you lead us through in life, that your Spirit is at work and will be producing the fruit of the Spirit in all its aspects, and that he will be working to produce love within us. Lord, we pray for your working in our lives. We pray for young and old and in between, and for the different challenges that are faced in different times in life. And Lord, we pray for your help. We pray for your guidance in times of making decisions. We pray, Lord, for your help in pressing on through difficult circumstances. We pray, Lord, for your strength in coping with a lack of physical strength and with physical frailty. Lord, we look to you, and we pray that though we may be weak, that we will have a growing strength, that transforming work of your Spirit will be very real, and that we will know it even within ourselves. We pray, Lord, for the ministry of Tom McKendry as he comes next Lord's Day. We pray that you will bless him in his leading of the worship here, and speak through him to all who are able to gather in. We give thanks, Lord, for other retired ministers, and for the preaching that they do in vacant congregations and in holiday cover. We give thanks for Robert McCollum, for Tim Donaghy, Malcolm Ball, Blair McFarland, Barry Galbraith, and Drew Gregg, and others who are able to take on this responsibility. We pray that you'll help these men to find encouragement in doing this, and we pray that you will enable them to keep going, and that they themselves will be blessed, even as they are a blessing unto others. We pray, Lord, for your church in places far from here. We pray in particular for Reformed Presbyterian works in different parts of the world. We pray for Reverend Andrew Quigley and his wife and daughter as they'll be returning to Canada in a few days' time. And we pray for the situation where the Canadian RP congregations are becoming a denomination in their own right. We pray for them as they work through all the details of that, and we pray that will be something that will be of benefit to them. We pray that you will build your church there in Canada, and Lord, we ask that you will lead things forward in a good way, and that there would be no obstacles that will be hindrances to the advance of that work. We pray for that land, and we pray, Lord, for the advance of the gospel there. We pray for the change in circumstances in Spain, and we pray that you provide for the Barrocal family as they move to Seville, and we pray for the entering into the ministry full-time there in that city. We praise you, Lord, for all the people who will have the opportunity to hear the gospel, and we pray that many will hear one way or another. We pray that you will open the hearts of people in Spain, that there will be fruit from the seed that will be sown. We pray for the work in Africa. We pray for South Sudan and for the churches there. We pray that you provide the leaders that are needed, and we pray, O God, that things will progress there, and that the Christian witness of the people in that land will spread, and that many others who worship idols and vain things will turn to the Lord. Pray also for the work in the Gambia, and we give thanks, Lord, for the connection that our Scottish church has there. We pray that that can be further developed, and we pray for your blessing there. We pray for difficult countries like India and Pakistan and China, and we pray for believers in these lands and the pressures that they're under and the difficulties that they face. And we pray that you will encourage them, O Lord, that they will see how hard it was for people at different times during the scriptures. And we pray that in their own situation, they will be faithful to you, and that others will see that. And Lord, we pray for your mercy and restraining hand. We pray for the congregations in Japan. We thank you for the work that goes on there. We pray, Lord, that in that land, that there will be a turning away from a trust in material things, a turning away from false religion, and we pray that there'll be an openness to the very different message of the Christian faith. And Lord, we pray that you will bless the ministry of our congregations there in Japan, and that there will be a great future for that land. And we pray that the Christian faith will extend greatly within that country. Lord, we praise you that you are at work throughout the earth. We thank you that you're also at work here in this land. We thank you for many who will have gathered in places of worship today, many whose hearts are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll continue to do a work of saving sinners in this land, sinners of all ages. And we pray, Lord, that you will refresh your churches through the influx of new people experiencing the newness of the Christian faith. And Lord, we pray that you would so work that your name would be praised, and that people will see that the age of conversions is not past, but that you are still doing a wonderful work. Lord, hear us in these things. And we pray for your strengthening hand in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we sing to God's praise from Psalm 116. Singing the first six verses of the psalm. The tune is Kilmarnock 106. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, because he hears my voice, he hears my plea. So while I live, I'll call on him who turned his ear to me. And God does hear the prayers of his people. He does listen to us. And when we look to him, he will give us the things that are for our good. And so we can have confidence that if we ask the Lord to cause us to grow in our love for him, that is a prayer that he will answer. And so let us sing these first six stanzas of Psalm 116, the Chin Kilmarnock 106. Stand to sing and remain standing then for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.